Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
The great Aretha Franklin. Throughout the morning, we'll play a bunch of her music. Got some stories to tell. Aretha Franklin gone at 76. Her death was announced yesterday during the program. The tributes continue to pour out. There'll be a number of benefit concerts that are in the planning stages. And I don't know that we can get it done today. I'm hoping to track down Smokey Robinson. I've been lucky in my life to play golf a couple times with Smokey and get to know him a little bit. And everybody wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
But if we can find him, I'd like to get him on the show. Smokey knew Aretha since they were, I don't know, kindergartners, first graders. Wow. So, Aretha loves Chicago, which we'll get to in just a second as well. Lou's first call coming up. You want to get in line? 312-981-7200 is the number to ask whatever question you have of Lou. And we got a bunch of stuff on the show we need to get to today. Plus, Ryan Dempster is scheduled to appear at 9:10. Though that's always a roll of the dice.
Is it?
Dempster was our regular baseball guy. Was it two seasons?
Yeah,
2 years ago.
Yeah, when they won the championship. Yeah. World Series.
And I love Demps. And he's a good guy. He just gets forgetful. He forgets he's made a commitment to do the show.
He was busy.
So, and when we did get him, we'd usually get him on a golf course. So how could I be mad at him?
Yeah. You should do a game. I saw that on Windy City Live yesterday, where he was on yesterday and he's playing a game, like where they're throwing stuff at a board.
So we should throw stuff at Ryan?
If we could throw stuff, if we could promise a game, he'll be here.
Because he loves that competition.
Yeah.
Justin's back from his big birthday celebration.
Got new socks.
Excellent. Is that the big gift?
That was the big gift. I got a backpack, too, so...
You're too old for a backpack.
I know, but this is... Pete has one of these. It's kind of like...
He's too old for a backpack.
Yeah, but it's a 40-year... like a 40s backpack. You know what I mean? It's not like one of these Jansport. It's like it's a hipster cool.
You don't have to defend it, Justin. He's got this thing about backpacks. I use a backpack. There's nothing to be ashamed
way
of.
Way too old for a backpack. You aged out of a backpack before backpacks were cool.
Backpacks weren't cool when I stopped, and now they are cool again.
Yeah.
And I rely on.
All right, so you say. Sandberg is at the Channel 9 Kids Fest this morning with her little guy Patrick Boyle, and so we'll check in with her throughout the morning. But since she's not here, I got up too late to get breakfast today. You guys want to order breakfast or something?
That's right.
She's not here. She'd yell at us. If we did it when she was here.
Did somebody say breakfast?
Yeah, don't you think, Steve, we ought to get some breakfast?
I think it's a great idea. From maybe multiple places.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So if you'd like to offer us free breakfast and deliver it, 312-981-7200.
Really messy stuff, too.
Right.
At 6:15, let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one is Aretha Franklin, being remembered as the Queen of Soul, as she was. Died on the same day that the King of Rock and Roll died.
How about that?
Odd, right?
That is odd.
The term the Queen of Soul actually came from Chicago.
Yeah.
She once called Chicago her second home. She performed here hundreds and hundreds of times. Did the national anthem of the 68 DNC. 50 years ago this month.
Crazy to think about that. I mean, here we come with this huge moment in American history, and of course Aretha Franklin's there.
How about the fact that she sang at the funeral of Martin Luther King and the inauguration of Barack Obama? There's bookends for you.
There's so many people put up stories on Facebook of covering the 96 convention because she sang at that convention, which is at the United Center here in Chicago.
Saw her there.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people have like personal encounters with Aretha Franklin from that experience.
I interviewed her a couple times, and she was Aretha Franklin. It's like talking to a statue.
There's a
and I don't mean like a statue, like she can talk back. I mean she's a monument. She's
icon,
There's a wonderful interview with her on our website when she was on with Pete McMurray a number of years back. It's a great interview if you get a chance to go and listen to it.
Check it out.
Pete McMurray? Does he go out to things? Is he out at social events and things?
He was doing a show, and they talked to Aretha on the air that day or night.
Well, good for Pete. So,
yeah. Cool.
Speaking of Pete, was there another Pete at a Cubs game? What was that video?
The Cubs won last night in Pittsburgh, and Pete is in Pittsburgh, and he and his wife Molly were at the game. They had nice seats, and they showed up on the broadcast. There was a foul ball, and there was a Pete Zimmerman sighting.
Yeah. Stood up like he was waiting to get his one shot.
Yeah.
I was watching the game. I didn't see it.
Somebody was paying very close attention.
Really close attention to see him.
But you know, baseball is very good at these micro statistics. You go, wow, who even thought of that? There are baseball statisticians whose job it is to wait for commercial breaks and foul balls and just point people out in the crowd.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's a good job. It's actually a good gig.
It's not a bad gig. Next. Yeah. Deliberation scheduled to continue today in the fraud trial of former Trump campaign executive, chief of the campaign, Paul Manafort. There are some on the defense attorney side and the prosecutorial side as well who are saying the government ought to be concerned because one of the four questions sent by the jury yesterday was define reasonable doubt, if you would please, judge. That's not as unusual as you would think it is. And, you know, when you go in, there's no rules. I've only been on two juries, but I was asked to be foreman on both. And as foreman, you're supposed to be in charge. Why don't you know? Unless you watch TV, you don't know what the rules are for a jury.
What kind of foreman were you?
Were you a hardcore?
Like, did you talk everything out? Guys, let's go right back to the beginning.
Let's negotiate this sucker out right now. No, what I did was I took the vote up front to see where everybody was, because I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
And that was not good, or
no? But the point is, it ties to this because when you take the vote up front, if somebody goes, "Well, I don't know what reasonable doubt is," then he can send a question out, because one of the things that threw people was how fast the reasonable doubt question went out.
Right.
And the judge gave some judgy answer.
So judgy.
Reasonable doubt is doubt that is reasonable. Okay. Thank you. Next. Walmart announced their best earnings quarter in over a decade. Didn't anybody know they weren't having a good run? The earnings report signals a surging economy as Walmart did better than analysts expected. It's coupled with a huge day on Wall Street, best since April, as the market reacted to a possible trade talk settlement between China and the U.S.
How about that?
Hopefully you're in the market because you made some money yesterday. Next. General Mills and Quaker Oats say that the herbicides found in hundreds of their cereals aren't coming from the processing plants, but from the farmers treating their oats before harvest. They said that they followed the rule of law.
Right.
They say the cereal companies aren't doing it, so the farmers are spraying the goods.
Yeah, I love that, too. It's not us.
Mm-hmm.
But so there still is herbicide in Lucky Charms, but it's not us.
I like the Lucky Charm herbicide.
You knew that cereal could kill you, but weed killer?
The herbicide, the Lucky Charm, is black, by the way.
That's how you tell.
Yeah.
How about the herbicide Cheerios? Have you had those? Tasty. Tasty. Next. As you know, the president revoked the security clearance of John Brennan a couple of days ago. Now, there are 12 security muckety-mucks who have served at the highest levels of our security infrastructure who all signed on to a joint letter. Ex-CIA directors, ex-FBI directors, deputies of the same, all saying that revoking John Brennan's security clearance was nothing but a political move, which, of course, the president proved when he told the Wall Street Journal the reason for the ban is because of the Russia investigation.
I know, right?
Pure genius.
I don't know enough about, you know, the history of revoking security clearances, but I read this great article about how this plays right into Trump because he needs a foil. He's a wrestler. Professional wrestler. That's how he looks at communication and his press. And the perfect foil is John Brennan. He represents the deep state. He's a perfect guy to pinpoint. If Brennan continues to fight Trump and Twitter, then it gives Trump a way to talk about the Russia investigation, which is not about the facts.
Well, there's an argument going on about whether or not somebody at John Brennan's level ought to be talking so openly about his personal opinions. You can have that argument, but the 65% of this country that doesn't like Donald Trump and thinks he's a bad president needs to speak up.
Yeah.
And not just John Brennan. And then there's this. The Cubs beat the Pirates in Pittsburgh behind a dominant performance by John Lester. We will post the most important part of that broadcast, a picture of Pete Zimmerman, producer on this show, from the crowd, clapping.
Sorry, I love that this is getting breaking news treatment.
There was a great moment in the ninth inning where Pedro Strop allowed a runner to hit a batter. There's man on. I don't know if you saw this. Mm-mm. And There was a meeting on the mound, and so Anthony Rizzo gets right in Strope's face, and just with a cold stare 2 inches from him, they had a little stare down for a minute.
It was just to
loosen him up. And
they just then stared at each other.
I mean, it was the weirdest thing, but it's gone viral. You have to see this.
It wasn't a mean stare.
It wasn't, no, it was just kind of like.
It was like a hmm.
Like Larry David when he gets super close to your face.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
It was like a smirk saying, you got this, do it or else.
And he never broke out of it either. I mean, he walked back to first base, stone faced as could be. It was bizarre.
Did you see Strope afterwards? He was like laughing.
Here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see more of Pete Zimmerman and less of those two.
Oh gosh, I have the Larry David stare in my head.
Yeah,
Rizzo doing
his
that.
Check it out. You'll see what we're talking.
Top six complete and Lou is next. 312-981-7200. If you want to be the first caller.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Are you at the Kids Fest situation?
I walk into the Kids Fest situation, and who do I run into right away?
Sandberg?
Yeah, Mary Sandberg Boyle with young Patrick Boyle.
Yep.
And he's working on a project. And she says, Lou, I need you right now. Stand right here. Patrick, ask him your questions. And so, he asked me the questions, and I'm like, oh, you know, a nice young man. And he's asked me my favorite color. And evidently, what your favorite color is tells a lot about you. You could do this. This would be fun radio.
Yeah, because there's nothing more visual than radio.
But my point is, the description of what's your favorite color, Steve?
My favorite color is blue.
Okay. So you could look up what that says about you. Well, he didn't say some very nice things about people that like the color red, which is my favorite color. But then when I'm like, oh, Patrick, it's so nice to meet you. And then I asked him what his favorite color was, and he said it's blue. I go, you know what they say about people who like the color blue? And he goes, what? I go, they're awesome.
See what you did there?
And then as I was walking away, Mary goes, wait, stop. I need a picture. I need a still shot. Don't move. And I'm like, she's a producer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You could have something very important to do. If she yells at you, you'll stop.
I'm scared of her.
Well, we all are.
Yeah.
At 6:29, Lou, what are we supposed to do about our lawns when it doesn't rain?
Well, that wasn't a problem last night.
Well, but not everywhere.
Yeah.
Not everybody got drenched.
You know, I mean, this is a big issue because most of us overwater our lawn. And when you do that, you don't really create a lawn that's healthy. And so you start to see dry out. You see a few little brown patches here and there. The thing is that it really is important to just water your lawn once the thing is established about twice a week for a good hour. And that's going to promote really good root growth. And a little bit of wilt when you see it now and then is actually healthy for a lawn. When you overwater, it's more susceptible to disease. One of the things that I really like to tell people is using organic fertilizers throughout the summer. And one of my favorites I talk a lot about is Milorganite. However, there's a shortage.
I've noticed a shortage of Milorganite.
Well, it really is true, and I don't know what's going on because it does come from Milwaukee County sewage, so it sounds like people aren't going to the bathroom enough up there. Good morning. And so, but I really like that product, and it helps to green up the lawn and keep it nice and healthy.
How much brown is too much brown? I mean, and by the way, time of year being the question there, because we're, what, middle August?
You shouldn't have a lot. I mean, if you have a couple little brown patches here and there, it's not a big deal. But if you see areas of brown patch, there is also a fungus. Actually, I'm talking about that this morning on the TV side, about these funguses that can occur. And there is such a fungus called brown patch.
Mm.
Ortho makes a spray that you can put on the end of a hose to combat that.
How do you know if you need it? How do you know you need it as opposed to it's just a brown lawn?
Most hardware stores have this Bible of lawn problems. And if you take a picture with your phone of the problem and you walk into the hardware store and say, hey, you got that magic book that Lou talked about from the lawn? And they'll open it up and say, yep, that's what I got.
and then they'll have a remedy for it.
And these are all collected questions on lawns. And one more, if you don't have an in-ground sprinkler system, are the hose-connected sprinklers enough, or do you literally need to hand water the lawn?
No, hose-connected sprinklers are great. One of the things that, as I talked about overwatering, a water timer is a great idea, because then you can conserve as much water as possible, and then you don't overwater. And if you want to leave it out there, depending on what your schedule is like, if it's the type of thing where you're working all the time or you're traveling, you can pull the sprinkler out there, set up an oscillating sprinkler, whatever it is, a spinning one, just to cover the spot and have that timer do the work for you two times a week.
Mary Vandeveld, do you have a question for Lou?
No, I don't have a question, but I just want to comment, Lou, on the Ace Hardware in Villa Park. I absolutely, you know, we're there all the time. You guys have the best greeting cards.
Oh, those aren't those so
funny?
They are
so funny. I mean, my husband's like, you have to go get some cards at Ace Hardware. I go, really? At Ace Hardware? And they went in there and they thought I was nuts.
What's the line?
It is called... Oh, gosh.
It's called It's Just Funny.
They are so funny.
I can't remember. Oh, they're like old-time cards, some of them, and they're the best.
You know, there's like a picture. Like, there's a picture of an old lady in the house dress, and she's fanning yourself.
Oh, the hot flash lady. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
The hot flash lady.
Yeah, she says, you've always been hot. And then you open it up. It's like, now it's just a little different.
Okay, so
I just sent it to my
sister. If either one of you tell us what line they are, we can find them.
I don't remember. I'll look at home. I have a stack of them.
Okay.
You know what? You just go to either one of my Ace Hardware stores
and get free popcorn, too.
It's like something like Just Funny Enough or something like that.
Okay, good. Randy's in Joliet. He's got your question. What's your question, Randy?
Yeah, I'm having problems with termites in my barn, and I was wondering if there's something out there I can use for me to do it myself.
Yes. One of the companies that probably has everything you need for both inside and out is Bonide, B-O-N-I-D-E. They have a treatment for outdoors. Depending on the type of termites you have, and I'm not an entomologist, but there are different termites. Some require that you put these stakes in the ground. They make those as well to try and get into the pathways of coming to your barn and get underneath there, and you do a perimeter treatment around the barn, and then there's also an interior treatment that you'll use as well, both Bonide products. You have to be careful with that if you have livestock in there about where you put it and treating it, but that should work, and it's pretty effective, and you have to really pay attention to placement and also inspecting probably after a couple of weeks to see what kind of results you're getting.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, hold on, man. You got an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's from American Weathermaker. It's the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. Dave, what do you have?
Well, Lou, remember I had a problem with my house being overrun by birds in the spring, and you helped me get rid of that.
Did it work?
It did. It did. But now I have yellow jackets and wasps. Yeah. I have two nests up in the soffit and very tough to reach. But I also had them building a nest in my floodlight on my deck. So I sprayed it like with half a can of whatever the wasp killer stuff is.
Same name as the cards.
Yes.
Right.
We'll get right back to that.
And now my only concern is I killed the hornets, but I'm worried now, did I create any kind of an electrical problem by firing a liquid at an appliance?
Do the lights still work?
It still works, but I don't want to create any kind of fire hazard.
No, you should be fine. Okay, I'll tell you what, when it comes to hornet spray and wasp spray, the foaming product is the best, because as you spray it, it not only attacks the area where the nest is, but it expands and goes into the nooks and crannies.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, if people have problems with yellow jackets or carpenter bees that are coming behind their siding and whatnot, the trick is to, you know, really spray it, and you have to count to like three or four while you're standing there spraying it very bravely before you run. And then the trick with any kind of wasp removal is to do it at least two, if not three, consecutive days in a row.
Oh, okay.
Or move out of the nature preserve you live in. You have a beautiful home. I love your house.
Right.
He lives in a forest.
I like
He's
that.
He's like Howard Hughes at this point. You know, he works very hard, and then he just doesn't want to be bothered.
And he grows his fingernails in his hair.
Right. Very
you have fun there.
I love you.
Love you back. Lou's First Call is sponsored by the fine people at American Weather Makers, and we'll come back with the headlines next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I pulled into Nazareth. I was feeling about a half past dead.
It's a cool backstory on this song. This is The Wait by the band. Aretha Franklin grew up in church.
Hey, mister, can you tell me?
And Aretha Franklin did what we all did the first time we read the lyrics of The Wait or heard the song. We went, what? What? It's subject to interpretation by many. And she didn't get it. And then she said, well, it's such a good song. We'll sing it anyway.
Yeah, right.
It's one of a million songs that Aretha Franklin did in her lifetime. Seven-decade career. Started when she was 4 or 5 years old, singing for her daddy, the preacher.
Reading all these great stories about her, the story that she was such a phenom, and her dad recognized it because she would sing in the church, that he put her on tour to different gospel churches around the country. So she was already a star before she made a transition to pop music.
I think she was 12 or 13 when her first album was out. So
it's amazing to think, like, you're so good, we're going church to church. Come
church
with me.
It up.
Church, we're churching it up.
Lisa Dress is here. Lisa's a friend of the program. Always nice to see you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Yesterday, 300 newspapers joined in a nationwide effort to publish editorials in response to Trump's constant harangue on fake news. By the way, one source of fake news that Trump regularly references has been essentially shut down. Alex Jones' flagship radio station was shut down this week, a pirate radio station somewhere in Texas, along with already being taken off Spotify and Facebook and various other places. The only people that have been kind of weak on this is Twitter, who put him in a corner, put him in a timeout corner.
They put him in a corner, right.
Also yesterday, 12 former security chiefs signed onto a joint letter talking about Trump trying to stifle free speech. Is this a groundswell, Lisa, or is this just another day?
You know what? My colleague Jim Webb and I were talking about this in the office the other day. We are both hard-pressed to realize or think about the last time anything like this happened, where 350 newspapers bound together to issue a single statement. But did it work? You don't know.
Right. And it's not something that's usually these are competing business models. Like, even though they're newspapers and you don't see too much across the board where they come together on one project.
Right. You know, so at Serafin, we do crisis communication day in and day out. And quite frankly, newspapers are in a crisis. We knew that before this happened because readership is down and Twitter and everything else. But to come together and form a coalition on the message, that is kind of crisis 101. But at the end of the day, people in this day and age, and Steve, we talk about this on the show all the time, like it or not, President Trump has fundamentally changed how elected officials and, quite frankly, the President of the United States communicates with Americans. So he takes to Twitter. Newspapers are reacting to what he's acting about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the only time you get a shot at him. The only time you get a shot at him because he doesn't do press conferences. He'll talk to Fox, but since he doesn't talk to anybody, you have to read Twitter. And there's nothing wrong with him using Twitter. I mean, I said that from the first week he was inaugurated. It's what you say.
Right.
It's not the method you choose to say it in.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of debate whether he knows what he's saying when he says it.
Of course he doesn't.
But the interesting thing about what happened, you know, with all the newspapers is in one newspaper, actually, as they were, you're reading the editorial, up comes an ad for, hey, by the way, subscribe to our newspaper.
Right.
Now, whether that
was
intentional or not, I'm not going to say it. I forgot which newspaper it was.
Well, I wonder about this because there is a debate here, you know, and the president will point this out. And I read a thing in Politico yesterday about that this kind of plays into the hands of the president when you talk about the mainstream media, capital M, or this idea of collusion from newspapers, that this is their stock and trade. They're making money off of being biased against the president. I mean, can you make that argument when 300 plus newspapers come together in a striking anti-Trump editorial project?
And before you answer, two quick things. Yes, of course they colluded.
Mm-hmm.
That's the definition of collusion. They all got together, said we're all going to do this. But the messages were not the same.
Right.
The messages were regional. The messages were such that they appealed to their editorial board.
Does it give the president a little bit of power to say, this is what I've been talking about, the fact that they came together against me?
You can absolutely argue that, but there were about four newspapers that didn't quote-unquote take part in this, but then they wrote editorials on why they didn't take part in it. And then, you know, in crisis,
so everybody was part of the message, even the ones that weren't. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, when you're in crisis mode, don't repeat the negative. And what they just did, 350 newspapers, was just repeat the negative of enemy of the people.
But, and it is interesting, too, because what I was reading was saying that most of these newspapers, I mean, really in lockstep, if you will, have been anti-Trump editorializing already, meaning the editorial boards, even here in Chicago, the Tribune sometimes have gone off.
Here's the thing.
So the question I have is just, is it going to ring to nothing to everybody because it's already been done?
Exactly. The idea that this actually moved the needle on anti-Trump or pro-Trump is probably not a big thing.
It's therapy. It's therapy for the newspapers. But the fake news argument is absolutely legitimate. You cannot continue to trash the free press in this country and act like they're all out to get Donald Trump because they wrote or said something that he doesn't agree with or doesn't like.
Look, I was a journalist for 21 years, and being a journalist is one of the most rewarding careers that you can have.
And one of the most important.
And because you inform people for a living. You tell people something new. You find the truth, and you report it. And all my colleagues who are still journalists, print, radio, TV, everyone has an amazing job. But when you are attacked like this, you can't help but feeling it's a personal attack. But a lot of times you have to remove yourself and just do your job and put that spotlight on government and make sure that everything is being reported accurately and factually.
You have to remember, too, what's factual as far as categories go. And the editorial boards are opinions by groups of people as opposed to the journalistic reporting that goes on in the rest of the paper, which is fact-based witnessing.
That's and such also, a great distinction.
And also columnists, too.
Right.
A lot of people, they confuse what a columnist is and what a reporter is. And a columnist is there to incite thought. And they can have an opinion on it.
I mean, we talked about this, I think, with Chuck Todd, this idea that it's a little bit on the newspaper side, too. The media companies are a little bit complicit in this idea that they are blurring the line about what is their column and what is their newspaper article because they want clicks and they know it gets thrown out and it gets picked up by Google. And I spend a lot of time, my media literacy is, I feel pretty proud of like knowing what's real and what's not. There are times I'm like, is this a column or is this an article?
Right. And then also you have to, let's go back to the TV journalists and the radio journalists that are in the White House press room. How many times do you hear a question and is that question really ever answered?
Right.
And do the journalists go back and make sure their question is answered, or do they get swept up so many times we see in what the answer was that no one ever gets the answer to the original question?
Right. No, there's no information. There's no information. And the idea that reporting on a guy who has lied 5,000 times, quantifiably 5,000 times.
Maybe. Oh, wait, might be 5,000.
And he needs to be held responsible for that. And I think you can't
hold him responsible if every time you say you lied again, he says, why are you picking on me? And the 35% of the country that supports him stands up and goes fake news.
Right.
It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And people need to stop and realize it. Because, again, I said this yesterday. Every time somebody says, oh, all the media does is report fake news, tell me what the fake news is.
Right.
Tell me. Don't tell me what you heard on Fox. Tell me a specific story. And don't tell me about the bust of someone that was there on Inauguration Day. Tell me what you've heard this week since all the news is fake. What you heard last week since all the news is fake. Nobody can do it. More with Lissa in just a second. Where do you work, by the way?
Serafin and Associates.
Yeah, they're good.
Thank you.
Lissa Dresses here. Lissa, I'm going to grab this phone call from Mary and come back to you. You've spent a good chunk of your life in television. And what are television newsrooms doing with this fake news thing before we run out of time here? Before we do that, though, live at what are you calling this, Sandberg? Is this Kids Fest? What is this thing?
This is the 17th annual WGN TV Kids Fair.
Kids Fair. Okay.
Yes.
And it's crowded?
It's crowded. It's very fest-like, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Are you having any fun?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is, we've got booths of stuff. The White Sox, you can hit a ball. The Blackhawks, you can shoot a puck.
Uh-huh. The
Lifeway people have some awesome kefir that you can drink.
Yeah,
so
good stuff.
We got that. There's a lot of dancing. Patrick's been participating in some dancing on TV. So
that's your boy Patrick now.
Oh,
Patrick is 11.
They're breaking out the hula hoops, Steve. I'm sorry. Their hula hoops are getting broken out at the dance stage right
that's
now.
Good stuff. That's good stuff.
And Patrick just made a beeline for it. So.
Yeah, the boy loves to dance. Have you have you run into any of the talent over there? Are they all so diva they're hiding in tents in between shots?
So we saw Lou Manfredini right before he went on with you. Patrick did a little interview with him about what his favorite color is,
right,
which he chose red, and I believe it said he had a short temper. Red means short temper, I believe. So.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the only talent I've seen so far, though I've seen all of our staff. So we have, you know, our boss Stephanie is here, Tabitha, Sarah, Marlene, everyone from marketing.
Well, that's great. So we can't get any of those people to come to a show we're doing, but they're going to Channel 9.
Maybe because you said everyone ignored you at SNL Museum, maybe that's why they're here, because they're stepping it up.
Yeah, man, I'm not worried about being ignored. I'm worried about them showing up to do their job, so I'm glad they're actually doing that today.
They are here. They're handing out buttons.
Okay. All right. When we come back to you, I'd like to speak with the boy about what he's experiencing today, but I don't want to interrupt the dancing.
Yeah, the hula hooping right now. He's in a contest right now.
All right, live at Channel 9.
It doesn't look like it's going well. Yeah, so this is Mary Sandberg Boyle reporting live from the WGN TV 17th Annual Back to School Kids Fair. Back to you, Steve and Dustin.
That was amazing. Listen to that. Well done. Way to go.
All right, fake news. What are the TV newsrooms doing about it? What do they need to do?
Well, everyone is reporting this now as a news story. So you open up today's papers, and it's today's story, which was yesterday's editorial, which is cyclical. But one thing to point out that the Tribune pointed out yesterday is we talked a little bit about taking this personally for journalists. They say many of us have fielded enough angry threats in the streets, on our phones, and at our computers to chafe when a president calls us that, the enemy of the people. So this is, again, it's personal for the journalists that do get those threats, that do get attention.
Well, you see that at the rallies too. When you're at a campaign rally, someone who is campaigning to continue to be president of the United States, or even when he was to have the vitriol and the negativity and people flipping people off and swearing and yelling at other human beings, and that's appropriate in some form. That's where it loses all civility, and you just wonder where we're at. It's completely ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And by the way, if you know anybody that takes part in that at any rallies against the media, let them know where you work, and then they can come to your place of business in the middle of the day and start cursing at you.
You know, like
threatening you.
Like we said at the beginning of this discussion, we've never seen anything like this before, and probably tomorrow will be something new again.
But this guy has the power. We're way late here, but Donald Trump has the power to shut this down. He has the power to shut this down. He could stand up today and he could say, I appreciate the support and the passion by so many of you, but you are to allow the media to cover these events, whether I like them or not. You are not to threaten them. You're not to curse at them.
Yeah,
he's not going to do it.
He's not going to do that.
But that's the responsibility of the President of the United States, and it's just another way he fails at his job.
How do I follow up with that?
Well, you really can't. Lissa, where do we follow you on social media?
At Lissa Druss, Serafin and Associates.
Spell
Thank
it.
Very much. LissaDruss or Serafin.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
News next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
I think this is probably the only song, maybe one or two. She had a song with George Michael. This is Aretha, of course. I was trying to think of the songs I actually played as current hits with as a disc jockey.
Who's Zoomin' Who?
Yeah, Who's Zoomin' Who? Freeway of Love.
Freeway of Love. I feel like there's not...
And what was the George Michael song? She did a duet with George Michael.
I remember the...
I'm a space on that.
I feel like with all the great tributes of Aretha Franklin and her music, I feel Freeway of Love just keeps getting omitted. I'd like to hear more Freeway of Love today.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew you were waiting. That's the George Michael song. That's a great song. It's a great
song. I'm still waiting for Freeway of Love, too.
Not, you know, Who's Zoomin' Who? Not the greatest thing.
I was listening to a bunch of Aretha yesterday, and Freeway of Love came on, and you realize how much her sound in the 80s was in step with all of the 80s soundtrack songs.
Yeah, but you know what? I was thinking about the same thing with her, but... Her voice was so crazy
so good.
She could make a terrible song good.
Yep.
And Freeway of Love, not a great song, but because it was Aretha, you know, it was compelling.
But it's just like you could just hear it as the credits rolled on, you know, whatever action movie of the 80s it was. Even though I don't even know if those songs were in any of the movies, but it sounds so 80s soundtrack.
Do you know what the president's upset about this morning?
No. Is this a new game show we're playing?
What's Donald Trump are annoyed with today?
Security clearance would probably be, I'm just going to guess, no?
Could be one of them, but his latest tweets are about the fact that the Pentagon canceled his military parade.
Oh, the military parade. That was on the tip of my tongue.
The local politicians, 20 years of the president's local politicians who run Washington, D.C., parenthetically, poorly. Know a windfall when they see it. When asked to give us a price for holding a great celebratory military parade, they wanted a number so ridiculously high that I canceled it. That's not quite how it went. Yesterday it was reported that the Pentagon said, Mr. President, we really shouldn't be spending $10 million on a parade right now that nobody wants to
have. I love he takes it, the first rule of business, take the negotiation public.
Yes. Yes. Trump says, never let someone hold you up. I will instead attend the big parade already scheduled at Andrews Air Force Base on a different date and go to Paris's parade. Because this is where it all started. He was at Bastille Day, and he loved the party they throw at Bastille Day, where they celebrate the big guy. Maybe we'll do something next year in D.C. when the cost comes in giant caps way down. Now we can buy some more jet fighters.
The American Legion had a really good statement to him yesterday. I don't know if you saw this or not, but they said, until such time as we can celebrate victory in the war on terrorism and bring all of our military home, we think the parade money would better be spent on funding the Department of Veterans Affairs and giving our troops and the families the best care that they deserve.
Yeah, but Steve, he canceled it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
He canceled it.
I would like to, maybe in the next couple of weeks, there's a piece, I think it was in the New York Times, about the war in Afghanistan and how the Taliban is surging. And it's interesting that we have completely forgotten about that. And there was a point, I think, that there was when they were talking about the economy, and they said just recently, non-wartime economy. And I'm like, we are at war. We've been at war for years.
We've been at war
so the idea that we somehow are calling it non-wartime.
Years.
Yeah, but the idea that's a distinction. You're like, we are at war, and there still is a war. And because of, and it's just interesting that the American people are not paying attention to what's happening.
It's a longer discussion, but the guy who started Rags of Honor, Mark Doyle, lived in Afghanistan and he's a forensic accountant and signed up to go over and chase down where the president of Afghanistan's dirty brother was stealing the money and hiding it. And he wrote a great op-ed for the Chicago Tribune, which at some point in the near future we'll get out and read again. But the point is, the general point is, you can't have peace in a tribal setting such as that, where there are thousands of years of history. You're in the tribe down the street.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like you.
Yeah.
We'll fight together if somebody's coming after us.
Right.
But the minute they leave and leave their weapons behind, I'm going to start shooting at you again. And there's no centralized government. There's no centralized form of taxation, so you can't fund anything.
I mean, as much as, you know, this is sort of a hot take, but to hear that, I can't help but think of Chicago. I can't help but think of the gang problem in Chicago, where there are block-to-block gangs that are set up. That you're absolutely right. They're not. One can't put down their arms without fear of another one taking advantage of them.
Yeah, the police come in. All the gangs are against the police.
Right.
But the police leave, they're going to shoot each other.
So why not apply some of the same logic that you just told us about with Afghanistan and think about it locally?
Well, we'd have to do it better than we're doing it in Afghanistan. That's the thing. MVPP coming up in a second. Let me grab a quick phone call here. Good morning. Hello. How are you?
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I'd like to request a song.
What's all right. What song?
Anything but listening to you.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. What are you upset about?
Could we do that?
What are you
upset? I do not want to hear you saying anything negative about our president. I just don't.
Here we go.
I don't want to hear your verbal anti-Trump diarrhea anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So just stop.
Well,
and play some music.
Aren't we all entitled to our opinions?
You know, I just want you to stop talking about it. I don't care about your political views.
Okay?
Right. It's not something that people even need to discuss anymore. Just stop. Play music.
So we should just
make people happy. You know what? I want to listen to happy things. Okay? Could you play some Sailing by Christopher Cross? Maybe Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves. Right. That poor girl only had one hit. Could you please just play that?
Well, we could. We could possibly. You know, we have a slogan here. Much more talk, much less music. You think we should change that, huh?
Well, no, no. See what you're doing right there? I can't dance to it. I can't sing along with it. I don't say, let's all have a party and dance with Steve Cochran as he talks. I don't. Okay?
See, very upset.
I just don't think that happens.
No, I'm
Could
sorry.
You please just stop
I'm
talking
sorry.
About President Trump? That's
I'm
our
sorry.
President.
I'm sorry.
Okay?
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter whether you like him or not.
Well, it
He's
does
there.
Kind of. Well,
He's
it does
not kind of. Going anywhere.
Well, yeah,
so
maybe
just
you can.
Appreciate the position that he has. And just be
I don't have any appreciation.
You know that saying, if you don't have anything nice, just don't
yeah.
say anything.
Yeah.
Else. Just don't say anything.
Right. So we should just shut
just
up
don't
then.
Don't say anything.
So you'd like
yes,
me just
please.
To shut up.
I don't want to hear your negative anti-American slop about our current president well, anymore. And
right.
I'm going to tell you right now, Mr.
Yes.
Cochran. I am going to call your boss and I'm going to tell him that you're an un-American garbage spewer. You are an un-American garbage hater, spewer, monger, whatever else I can fit into a sentence to describe
right,
you.
Right.
I'm going
right.
to do
very
it.
Eloquent.
Okay,
no.
and he needs to stop you from flapping
well, okay.
your gums and play music
okay,
that we can all enjoy and dance to. Why don't you play Mungo Jerry in the summertime? Woo! We're all having a good time listening to that.
All right,
okay,
well,
it's a great song and it makes me feel real good, which
right.
I need right now.
All right, well, listen, I hope you keep listening. I'm going to let you go, and I hope you have
yeah.
a nice day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
That's...
you so much. Thank
she's,
you.
She's not
trash
wrong.
Talker. I mean, bye-bye, trash talker.
Who was that?
Well, it's just another happy listener.
Whoa. She has points. Whoa. There's points. There's
really...
merits to that argument.
Well, see, you know, it's interesting.
Good song.
You know, what's interesting is that call, she made me happy. She made me happy.
She did.
I like the idea, though, that we should play yeah. more music. What was our first request, Super Joke? Sailing by Christopher
yeah,
Cross?
That was the one.
Now, that's an editorial I'd read.
Too,
right?
though, Katrina the Way.
So what, doesn't sailing make everyone more calm? Christopher Cross, fantastic idea.
Puts me to sleep.
724, the most valuable person on the planet, coming up next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Yeah, it's amazing. I didn't even get her name. The one, the Christopher Cross requesting lady? I didn't even get her name.
Hey, garbage spewing.
You garbage spewing.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I never had a chance to ask her, but if you ask Aretha, what's the song that you were most proud to sing? Probably wasn't that one, but she had a huge hit with it.
I love this song because I know it doesn't get played enough during the tributes, and I'm not sure it should be, but it there is the great part where the guy comes in, who's zoom and who?
Right.
Yeah, who's
love
that?
I love that.
Friend.
I love
who's
that guy.
Zoom and who? Who's that guy? Where's that guy?
Yeah.
I saw a clip yesterday of Elton John, Aretha, and God, no, I can't remember. Maybe Stevie Wonder. I can't remember two others. All singing together. And then there's the Divas clip, which, if we have time, we'll play later. There was a Divas special on. So it's like Mariah Carey. It's Celine Dion. It's all these current divas and Aretha.
Yeah.
And to see these incredibly talented women looking at her and going, I can't follow that. I can't follow that.
So
you want
good.
Me to follow that?
Yeah.
I can't follow that.
And you know, she's considered to be the original, the OG, if you will, diva. And I have a negative connotation to that word. Like, I always think of it as someone who is just causes trouble or might just be too sassy. And I don't hear those stories from Aretha Franklin. You might hear those from Mariah Carey, and you hear those from others who, you know, who maybe in this digital age, if you're going to walk off stage and treat people poorly, you get the diva attachment.
Yeah, I never heard that.
But you don't hear, I don't know, it made me a different, well, maybe it was, maybe we'll hear, oh, I got
well, you know what
stories
she,
about her. She,
around the time of that divas thing, she did an interview, and somebody said, well, what's a diva? And one of her definitions of a diva was somebody that cares about the audience.
Oh.
In other words, somebody that's not going to put up with weak work by the people surrounding you who don't get it done. Nobody's going to phone it in with me because these people
that's,
paid to come
so
here
good.
Tonight.
That's and that makes sense to me. And but if you ask people right now to explain or give me the definition of diva, I'll
yeah,
bet you a lot of people be it's negative.
Yeah,
right?
It's negative, absolutely.
Yeah.
In case you missed it, our most valuable person on the planet, Aretha Franklin. Dave, favorite Aretha Franklin song?
I would say
you seem like you make me feel like a natural woman type.
I watched a video of her performing that at the Kennedy Center last mm-hmm. night.
Is that the one where President Obama was tearing up?
Yeah. So I'd put that up there. But
18 Grammys, a Presidential Medal of Freedom. I mean, you know, her trophy room's bigger than my house.
She did a version of Spanish Harlem that I love.
Oh,
That's probably
the other clip we got to get out is when Pavarotti in 1998 got sick at the Grammys. An hour before showtime, or a couple 2 hours before showtime, she stepped up and sang an aria,
of course,
an opera.
Yeah. Oh, that was amazing!
And nailed it.
Yeah,
just nailed it. Favorite Aretha song, Justin?
Say a Little Prayer is great, and Do Right.
Those are both good.
Awesome. You hear so many people who are inspired, and you see their work inspired by Aretha Franklin. And we just talked about some of those divas, Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, other people like that. I want to find out who inspired Aretha as a kid. Who were the artists that, and I think, you know, Mahalia Jackson
point.
Comes to
yeah, sure.
mind. A lot of
point.
Gospel greats from the city of Chicago were the people that Aretha Franklin
yeah, great question.
Looked up to.
And I haven't heard it discussed, but that is a great question. Mary Vandeveld, favorite Aretha song?
I got to go with Think. I think.
How about that scene from the Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
Where she and the waitresses are dancing in the diner doing Think?
Yeah, it's awesome. You always got to dance when you hear Think.
She's
what
the
are
best.
You gonna do?
Steve Grzanich, favorite Aretha song?
You know, I have to tell you, all of them, I love them, but the one that, when I was watching the inauguration of President Obama in 2009, and she sang My Country, 'Tis of Thee, I literally had chills. And I keep listening to that over and over the past 24 hours. It's one
Remember
of
she had the giant bow on her head?
Yep.
And she made fun of the bow. Yeah. Because I think the line was, I knew it was ridiculous, but it was cold out there. You know, big old bow.
It was really cold that day, and she belted out that song.
Right. Well, somebody couldn't sing because it was too cold. Was that Mariah Carey? Somebody bailed on a performance because it was too cold.
There's a classic New Year's Eve.
That was New Year's Eve.
Yeah, where she just messed it all up and didn't care.
Yeah, but this was
But I'm sure there are many times.
Super Joe, are you old enough to have a favorite Aretha song?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
Say a Little Prayer.
Say a Little Prayer is great.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a repeat, but
there's a movie called Sneakers with Sidney Poitier and Robert Redford. Not
great
a huge movie.
You'll
love that.
Great movie.
Love that movie from 1992. And there's a dance scene in the movie with my favorite Aretha song of all time. Give me a little bit of that.
Oh yeah,
this is good as it gets.
Change, change, change.
And that's Steve Cochran all time top 10.
Change, change, change.
Today this is number one,
right? Change, number two is Sailing by Chris Brown.
That's exactly right. Whatever your favorite Aretha song is, this has got to be on the list. Come on. Come on. And am I right about this? You remember that weird little Travolta movie, Michael, where he played an angel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there a dance scene with this?
I don't remember the dance scene, but
I think there's a Chain of Fools dance scene with Travolta.
I didn't know this, Mary. You like this about Think and I think it was Steve. You just talked about Blues Brothers. She had fallen out of favor, meaning she was on the waning part of her career before she did Blues Brothers. That was for some reason the late 70s disco music kicked Aretha Franklin out of the spotlight.
So 1980 comes around, Landis puts her in the movie.
Yeah, isn't that amazing to think about? Because when you see that after the fact, you're like, how could they get such a huge star? But at that time, she wasn't as big a star as
Donna Summers.
Yeah, Donna. Right. They said Donna Summer in the disco movement took her off the
And I have to apologize because I missed the moment. We had Aykroyd on last Friday, and we should have asked him about this because you talk about somebody who has an appreciation for the blues. How thrilled must he have been to be hanging around on a movie set with Aretha Franklin?
To be fair, I think the news of her condition started this week, so it wasn't
was
the news yet. Yeah. So.
But anyway, crank this up one more time, and then I'll get I'll settle down. I just got to hear a little more Chain of Fools. Going to be a good concert in heaven tonight. We'll check in with Sandberg one more time. Coming up here in just a few minutes from Kids Fest at Channel 9 in the parking lot this morning. And we'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Now there was a time when they used to say,
forgot about this. It's a good record. All Aretha all morning.
But you nailed it. It's the her voice.
Check it.
The production, you're like, oh, that's so 80s. But the voice just was way, tremendous. Makes it so much better.
Sandberg is at the Channel 9 Kids Fest today with young Patrick. Sandberg. Did I turn the phone off? Yes, I did.
Hey.
There he
well,
is.
Well, Patrick. How
Patrick,
you doing, buddy?
How are you, buddy?
Good.
What are you having? You having any fun out there?
I'm having amazing fun here.
Okay. Good.
I'm dancing like crazy, and they had this dunk tank, so I got to take a picture on it because Mary wouldn't let me go in because I don't. She doesn't want me getting wet.
She ruins it. She ruined your fun.
She's right.
Yeah.
And what else do you want to do of all the stuff you've seen there?
Like, there's a lot of mascots, there's a lot of, like, fun games.
This is pretty cool.
My favorite part is probably dancing.
Yeah, now you love to dance, don't you?
Yep.
What do you love about dancing?
I don't know. It's just so, like, groovy and funky. Like, when you hear music, you have to dance.
Right,
but even if you're not a good dancer, you can just, like, move around.
Yeah, you have to. You can't dancing. Stop. You have to dance.
That's awesome.
All right. Yeah. Is Sandberg there with you? Mary, are you there with you right now?
Yeah, she is.
Can I talk to her, too?
Yep.
All right, buddy.
This is Patrick Boyle reporting live from the WGN TV annual Kid Fest. The
nice.
Best experience
nice.
Of my life. Back to you and Steve. And Justin.
That's amazing.
Nicely
Hello
done.
There?
Patrick.
Wow. Nicely done. You know,
been practicing that.
Well coached.
You know, the torture camp that you run at your house where you and your husband make the kids do broadcast practice every day, it seems to be working out.
I know. Just so you know, he also got to take a picture with Steve Shapiro from App.
Oh, that's big.
So
that's
that
big.
Was also, we've seen Paul Conrad and Paul Rennie. Our boss and the weatherman, so we've gotten some action with them as well.
Yeah. Rennie, by the way, is the general manager. Conrad's the weatherman. Yeah. Sometimes they get confused.
I know that we are the White Sox station,
yeah.
And so this seems like I'm going to say this because we are, but that's not true. The Cubs booth and the White Sox booth don't even compare. The Cubs have a tiny little wheel, and they're giving away some little free trinkets. The White Sox have a giant inflatable thing where the ball blows up and you hit it and it goes into, you know, it
cool.
goes into a field and, yeah, so it's
and they're
a
giving,
far superior
They're team. Giving away regular size candy bars.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Not those tiny ones.
Yeah, a flag and, you know, it's pretty cool. So I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. Well done. Yeah, White Sox
did you hear?
Done.
Did you get a chance to hear Patrick's answer to Steve's question about what is he like about dancing?
I did hear the
yeah.
answer. It's something about grooving and the music.
It's funky. Yeah. Is there any possibility that this could be a kernel of an idea to get Patrick into being a wedding DJ or someone like a hype man?
We do. Pat says that a lot, that he is destined to be a hype man. And he doesn't gravitate to anybody except for hype men at events. So he just asked me if he can go back to that stage. So it's pretty. If you go to the WGN Radio Instagram stories, Patrick took over this morning, so you
mm-hmm.
can see a lot of that dancing happening.
Mm-hmm.
He did have to take a pause to tie his shoe at one point on stage.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, as a dancer, you can't be too careful. You know, you could trip, you could fall, you could hurt someone
yeah,
else.
Right.
Yeah. And they have some other cool things that aren't, like, fun, but really great for kids who, if they haven't had their teeth checked, there's, like, a dental truck that you can get your teeth checked for free.
Aren't
they
there a lot of critters running around there, too? It looks like every time I look up at the Channel 9 monitor, there's some dangerous reptile.
Yes. There's reptiles. There's the mascots are very popular. They have their own security team, each of them. So the kids are all pawing them.
Didn't you say there was a porcupine, Steve?
There was a porcupine, and a woman
yeah.
standing next to the porcupine had no protective gear on whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, people aren't fazed, and they won't. That porcupine was walking around, and people are in line, like at the face painting. That's the biggest line I've seen. And they weren't going to move out of their way to let this porcupine pass through. Like, they're not losing their
Timmy,
spot in the food chain.
Timmy, we have been in line for an hour and a half. I don't care if you're filled with porcupine needles. We're staying in line.
Exactly. They're like, no, we're not moving. Like, oh, boy.
You will get your face painted like a tiger.
And the needles, they can paint around them. All right. Well, we'll check back with you. But the summation is you're having a fine time there at Kids Fair.
It's the best time you could have it. It's a kids' fair. It's the WGN 17th annual Back to School Kids Fair.
Okay.
And it is a rip-roaring good time.
What happened to you guys shadowing Dean Richards? Has Dean gone full diva? He won't let you hang out with him?
No, he's on the ground. Everybody's in street clothes, so I'm having a difficult time recognizing our personalities here at WGN TV. But the rest of our marketing staff is now canvassing the area, so we will. I did hear Dean was looking for me, so I feel pretty important.
Well, good. I'm just glad that our marketing staff showed up for the event. All right. Thank you for that. And you are?
I am Mary Sandberg Boyle, reporting live from the WGN-TV 17th Annual Kids Fair. Back to school, baby. Talk to you guys later.
It was it was good. It wasn't as good as Patrick. I'm going to be honest with you. Patrick was better, yeah.
And also the groovy and funky.
I don't know. It's just groovy and funky. And when you hear the music, you got to dance.
Okay. Which do you think that was from Mary or from Pat?
I think that's Patrick. I think that's all Patrick.
That's all him?
He's taking all of that influence that he's getting from his parents and he's putting it into it.
We've seen
pack.
That kid dance.
Yeah.
I
know he likes to dance, but I'm saying the word groovy isn't tossed around a lot in middle school.
Yeah, 11-year-olds aren't saying groovy.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Probably not.
Okay.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I love you.
Somebody told me she had a 4-octave range. I mean, that's otherworldly, isn't it? This will surprise you. I wasn't classically trained as a vocalist, but isn't 4 octaves crazy?
It's crazy. I mean, you listen to her music today, and we've been listening to it all morning. It's really hard to find singers that compare.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing stuff. That's Aretha, of course. All right, here's what's coming up next hour. We got Dean. Is Jim Tomei's daughter going to be on with us?
Yeah.
Is that done?
Lila, yep. She's coming up at 8:40.
She sung the anthem a couple of times.
She did, and Dave, we were talking about this earlier. She did the, Hall of Fame, right?
Did the anthem at the Hall of Fame at his induction.
For her dad's induction. She did last year, Little League Classic, the game with the, I think it was the Pirates and the Cardinals last year. And then she's doing it again this weekend.
How old is she?
She's a sophomore at the Chicago Academy for the Arts.
So wow, good for her.
Performing Arts High School.
Good for her. Well, we like her dad. You know what they say, if Lila's anything like Jim. What? more updates, too, from the Kids Fair. Kids Fair, Kids Fest?
Kids Fest.
Kids Fest at Channel
9. No, wait, Fair.
No, it's Fair.
Oh, it's Kids Fair.
Fair, yeah.
Kids Fair, Channel 9.
Fest, Fair.
And then Ryan Dempster scheduled to appear later.
Yeah, Dempster.
We'll see if that happens. Dean, in just a few minutes, news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN. What you want,
baby, I got. This is a Dean Richards walk-on music. Do you know I got it? He insists on this.
This is when I come on stage doing the boogaloo.
We're playing a bunch of Aretha for obvious reasons. I had a very angry caller last hour, Dean, demanding that I play more music and shut up.
Just today?
Yeah, they just kind of had it with me.
They had a point.
What? Said just shut up and play the music. You know, the music we're known for.
Strong music choices they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the requests was Christopher Cross Sailing.
When you get caught between the moon.
Oh, that's right. What was that, Arthur's theme?
That was Arthur's theme.
Ah, Christopher Cross,
yeah,
whatever happened.
He's a good artist.
So we understand that Sandberg's out there with young Patrick, and Patrick's
allegedly
dancing his tail off.
Allegedly.
Oh, I haven't seen her.
I have not seen Sandberg one lick this morning.
You think she told Patrick they were at this thing and
she may have dropped him off and went over to Dapper's.
Well, we're watching on the monitors. Looks like the turnout's big as ever.
It's huge. It's our 17th annual back-to-school fair. And we've got tents and booths set up all over the grounds here at 2501 West Bradley Place. The Jesse White Tumblers are performing right now for the crowds out there. But giving away school supplies and haircuts and medical inoculations, just all kinds of things. People are having a ball. There's all kinds of free food and just, you know, free stuff. Who doesn't love free stuff? People are having a ball. And allegedly, Mary Sandberg is out here with her son, Patrick. And I'm told that Patrick is out here having a blast.
But there's no way for you to tell.
There's too many people. I stopped by a WGN Radio, has a little booth set up, and we're giving away a hand sanitizer, which I think is the greatest giveaway ever.
Of course it is.
I've actually used several of the little containers to completely cover my whole body in hand sanitizer.
Right. Well, that's tremendous because you can't be too careful.
I like to be nice and sanitized.
Yeah.
The but I have not seen. I think Sandberg's just snuck a free day off today.
It's a crock. That's what you're saying. It sounds like it's a crock.
Yeah, and I don't mean the super comfy shoes.
What is the goal today? Just to bring the community together before another school year starts?
It's all it is. There's no, we're not trying to raise money. We're not trying to, hit a goal or anything like that. It's to get kids ready for school. It's to give them free school supplies, backpacks, and paper and pencils, and everything you need to start school, courtesy of our many fine sponsors who are out here today providing all that stuff. So it's it's just a nice goodwill gesture.
It's a thing.
You know, it would be fun next year if you actually did your show from the kids' fair.
Well, that'd be great.
Could talk to the kids because you are. Anyone knows Steve is the Art Linkletter of the new millennium.
There's no question. And for those of you that don't know Art Linkletter, you obviously born prior to this millennium.
I thought about that. Art Linkletter was a TV personality who used to do a show called Kids Say the Darndest Things, and he would talk to kids, and they would say embarrassing things. And then there was an updated version with Bill Cosby, which I decided at the last moment not to make reference to.
Yeah, good call. Right. Good call. All right, so is there anything happening in show business? There must be some movies you'd like to tell us about.
Really, it's all about Aretha today. And, if you've had your television or radio on the last 24 hours, it was about this time yesterday morning when the official announcement came down that she had passed away of pancreatic cancer. And tremendously sad. Pancreatic cancer is...
It's brutal.
As they say, is not the cancer you want to get. It's not a good one. And she suffered for a while, but now is at peace. But what a legacy is. I mean, I can say over and over, she has left us a gift that will last beyond all of us. Her songs and the gift that she gave and the way that she interpreted songs. And I got to say, those hairdos. Have you noticed that in some of the films?
The hairdos and the giant bow tie in her head.
Wow. Well, the giant bow tie at the inaugural. Barack Obama's inaugural, but some of the 60s hairdos, and I have pictures of my mom, exact same hairdos. That's what women were wearing back then. These gigantic hairdos, I'm pretty sure they filled with helium and then went outside. They're gigantic.
They are large. They're very, very large.
Yeah, said Goodyear on the side of one of the hairdos.
I don't know that it did. And is there a movie you're recommending for the weekend?
I am recommending two movies this weekend. One would be Crazy Rich Asians.
Right.
Which is a very nice, it's a romantic comedy. It's a return to romantic comedy, but it's done in a big, very classy, sort of dignified sort of way. It's the story of a super rich Asian guy falls in love with a non-rich Asian woman. And his super, super rich Asian parents are not happy about this arrangement at all. Think that the woman is beneath his status. So it reminded me so much of my Big Fat Greek Wedding of, the family not accepting someone who is different in the family, kind of an ethnic fish out of water story again, but one that is so relatable, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your background, you'll relate to the story. It's a very funny movie. A predominantly Asian cast in this movie, and for the really, I think for the first time ever, not showing Asian actors in typical, stereotypical kind of roles that can be very demeaning for men and women who are actors who happen to be Asian in this movie. It's brilliantly written. It's really well performed. I liked it so much, and I gave it a Dean's List B+.
That's great. Yeah. You know, there's been so much pre-press on this movie and so much hype coming from so many different articles, and I think Time Magazine and other places. So it's good to hear that it's getting good reviews, that you like the movie.
Lives up to the hype, and I think all that hype is because this movie is based on a series of novels. The Crazy Rich Asian novels that people have fallen in love with. I have not read any of them, but I sort of want to now, just to compare the two. But if you're a fan of, I'm told that if you're a fan of the book series, you're going to like the movies. Whether or not you've even knew that there was a book series, it's a really delightful breath of fresh air kind of movie. Dean's List B+.
The woman Constance Wu, who is the lead, she is so good on the show Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah,
and it's so great to see her in a lead role. If there's one actress who I believe deserves it, it's her. She's so good in that show, and it's fun to see her get this this lead role.
Yeah, people in this movie, this is just going to lead to huge things for all of them. Henry Golding is the name of the lead actor in the movie, the super rich guy, and this is his first major role. As they call him in the movie, he's the Asian bachelor, super handsome, and he does a fantastic job. You know who kind of steals the movie a little bit is the actress named Awkwafina. She plays the girlfriend to the lead actress in the movie, Constance, and she steals every single scene that she's in. She is just fantastic.
What's the other one you're recommending?
Across the board, there's another movie called Alpha, which is it's a movie that goes back 20,000 years in Europe, a prehistoric time of a tribe. They're out hunting for food, and one of the young hunters, who happens to be the chief's son, gets injured and is left for dead by the tribe. As he's trying to get back to his village, he's running across all kinds of animals that threaten his life, but he also runs across a wolf who has also been abandoned by its pack. And the two kind of, pair up, learn to accept each other, like each other. And it's first and foremost a story of survival in these brutal conditions.
Do they talk in the movie?
They speak in a prehistoric dialect with subtitles. So
kind of like Clan of the Cave Bear, huh?
The movie has subtitles. But it's really the story of the first boy and his dog story. You know, the wolf that is, a wild wolf and wants to kill him, suddenly they become friends and sort of domesticate. And it's very sweet. It's very exciting. It's a little bit on the violent side, a little bit on the bloody side. They don't hold things back, but it's beautifully shot. I like this one quite a bit. I gave this one Dean's List B.
And what did you think of Spike Lee's movie?
I loved Spike Lee's movie, Black Klansman.
It was the second weekend, right?
Yeah, this is the second weekend. I suspect Crazy Rich Asians is going to be the number one movie of the week because it's in wide release, and the Spike Lee movie is not yet. But it's a very powerful story that is the true story of the first African-American police officer in Colorado Springs, Colorado, who decides to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan. He's a black police officer, decides to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan. The manner in which he does this is by partnering up with one of his white police buddies. And on the telephone, it's the black police officer who talks to the KKK, including David Duke, who is brilliantly played by Topher Grace
really
in this movie. And Adam Driver from the Star Wars movies is the white police officer who deals with the KKK in person. So it's about this true story that really happened in the 1970s, but it's also about racism today, how far we have not come. Spike Lee makes lots of comments about today's political situation, the racial strife in America right now. It is rather brilliantly written and produced and acted. Denzel Washington's son, John David Washington, does a terrific job in his first big starring role in this movie. So that one I actually gave a Dean's List A last week. I really like that one.
There you go, kids. So, you know, that's Uncle Dean's rundown of all of it while people frolic in his parking lot outside.
I'm a little worried about Sandberg now.
Well, you got to get out there and find her.
I don't.
I guarantee she's not going to be the one with a big smile on her face and a hula hoop.
I don't think we had a Bushmills tent out there anymore.
I think
she
at this point
like to stay late for anything, so she might have left.
Yeah, at this point, I think she is probably going around to your various talent and telling them what to do. So I'm
trying to watch to see if I see her on screen right now, like with the balloon hat on or anything.
Yeah, well, just keep an eye on it.
Because I do have a guy doing balloon hats. That always kind of creeps me out a little bit.
That's why I'm not invited. Not enough balloon. Thank you, buddy. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. That's Dean at Channel 9.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
A lot of texters about Aretha this morning as well. One texter alerted us to a song I didn't know existed. Mavis Staples and Aretha doing Oh Happy Day. Oh Happy Day. It's a great song. Dave, you remember when we had Oh Happy Day in the studio?
I do. That was
the local choir.
The choir, yeah.
And I can't remember where they were from.
You could not sit still. You were jumping off the walls.
It was a black entertainer. Yeah. And there was a little boy who was about 10, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was singing his heart out, and couldn't have liked him more. Still like him. Mm-hmm. But at one point, I asked him, how old am I? Mm-hmm. How old do you think I am? And he goes, 75.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give or take.
Ah, kids. Can you give me, do you have Oh Happy Day, little Joe? Give me a little bit of Oh Happy Day, Mavis Staples and Aretha Franklin. Here you go.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, Jesus.
All this does is prove my theory. White people attend church. Black people go to church. That's the difference.
She tweeted out, Mavis Staples, I lost another sister, but I'm thankful for all the wonderful memories that we've had. I will always love you, Ray.
That's nice. We love Mavis. All right, 8:32. Back with your headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Lila Tomey is a sophomore studying music at the Chicago Academy for the Arts High School, training for a career in vocal performance. She is also the daughter of 2018 Hall of Fame inductee Jim Tomey.
Oh, see, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly.
That.
That's amazing.
amazing. How about that?
That's amazing.
You know, we have a policy on this show. If the anthem starts, we don't get in the
way. That's
right. I have chills.
Tremendous.
Have chills.
Let's talk to the real famous Tomi. Hi, Lila. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Was it weird listening to yourself right there?
It was a little weird. I've done it before, but every single time I do it, it's still weird.
And singing the anthem, is it as hard as other singers say it is compared to singing other songs?
Oh, for sure, definitely, because there's so many low points in the song and so many high points at the same time. It's like you have to find the right key that fits your voice, otherwise you can be in big trouble.
Well, you did a beautiful job. And did your dad ever give you notes on how to nail the anthem?
No, I haven't gotten any of those yet.
Go, stick to hitting, Dad. So we'll go in reverse order here. Tell everybody what you're doing this weekend.
I'm going to Cleveland mm-hmm. to go to the ceremony where they're honoring my dad, and I'm singing the national anthem there.
Jim Tomei Day, and Lila's gonna kill it again with the anthem. And then that would be enough for most weekends. Then what are you doing after that?
And then I'm going to the Little League All-Stars game, and I'm singing the national anthem there as well in Williamsport, which is amazing. That was such a last-minute opportunity, but it's so crazy that that just, like, came up out of nowhere.
We got to get her together with our friend from the Chicago Blackhawks, who's known for the anthem once or twice.
Right.
Of course, they probably know each other. They probably see each other at the anthem meetings. Say hi.
Lila, for you to be a sophomore in high school, to have this opportunity to perform in front of thousands and thousands of people, you do go to a performing arts high school, and you obviously want to have a career in singing. How important is this for you at such a young age to have such tremendous performance opportunities?
It's truly incredible. I mean, I think it's great because I'm getting over my nerves, I feel like, a little bit more of singing in front of so many people, because I definitely love it, but just like you'd expect, I mean, there definitely is some nerves that are still there when you're up performing in front of that many people, so it's great to like get the nerves kind of under control now rather than later.
Was singing at the Hall of Fame the most nervous you've been, given the magnitude of the day and what it meant to your dad? Because he certainly looked a little emotional while you were singing.
Yeah, that one definitely was a big one. Probably that one and my first one I ever did in 2016, I want to say, maybe, were my most nervous ones. My first one I ever did for the Indians.
Well, you do God Bless America as well, right?
Yes.
Is that easier to sing?
Definitely.
just a less of a range of notes, or why is it easier?
Yeah, it's less of a range of notes, and it's a lot, like, I don't know if it is actually shorter, but it seems a lot shorter when you're singing it.
Sure. What do you want to be? I mean, do you want to be Aretha Franklin? What do you want to be?
I get huge inspiration from people like Whitney Houston and Celine Dion, and I get a lot of writing inspiration from people who are pop R&B soul artists, because that's what I ultimately want to be, is a recording artist, singer, songwriter, performer.
So do you said you write your own stuff too?
Yes.
And have you performed any of your own stuff, or you're still working that out? Because that's a big leap.
I have not. I'm still working some stuff out, and it's definitely a challenge for me because I write a ton of my own lyrics. But the music composition part for me, I usually need some assistance with, because it's not like my strong suit. I usually just like come up with melodies in my head, or sometimes I'll like plunk them out on like the piano or the guitar. But usually, for the most part, I'll either like kind of just like work them out like either on the computer, or like I'll think of something in my head and just kind of like record it down somewhere so I remember.
A lot of kids your age who want to get into singing or want to get into performing arts, they'll do that as a hobby or on a side, or they don't necessarily get the opportunity to go to high school that centers on the arts. How important is it for you as a young artist to have a curriculum around trying to be a singer?
It's honestly so amazing, because I still am getting like the academic parts of school, which are necessary, but then it's like our whole entire day like shifts at 1:30, and we get to just like be passionate.
Pretty
and
cool.
Like do our art form for 4.5 hours or 3 hours. It's really cool.
Where did you get your interest in music, and is your dad musical at all?
He is not musical. Both my parents joke. They're like, I don't know where you got your talent from, because we're both tone deaf. So,
can your dad sing at all, or when he sings, do like dogs bark?
You hear a few dogs barking, for sure.
Singer-songwriter is a very special category. So, I'm the last person to tell you what to do. But I hope you have the courage soon to try your own stuff, because that's the next level. And I'm sure the stuff you've written is great.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely want to start getting my stuff out there more for people to hear.
Talking to Lila Tomei. You know who we know, Dave, and Justin, I don't know if you've met her, who's a terrific singer-songwriter, is Mark Sapelsa's daughter.
Oh, right.
You know, who's now, Ava's living in Nashville and chasing the dream as well.
And a singer-songwriter.
And a singer-songwriter. That's exactly right. Well, you know, just to make it fair, Lila, can you hit the curveball?
I cannot, okay, unfortunately.
So, you know, God helps you where he helps you, right? That's the thing.
Yeah. Right.
So, is your dad going to be with you at Williamsport, or is he just hanging in Cleveland for the weekend?
It depends on if he gets a call that he needs to make a trip somewhere, I believe.
Oh, for the White Sox.
I definitely know that my mom is going with me.
Pretty cool. You got a fun thing going on. Now, how are you getting to Cleveland?
We're driving, unfortunately.
Does that mean your dad's taking a Tomei family road trip to Cleveland?
Yes.
What's it like if Jim Tomei gets out of the car to go to the potty at a dress stop? That's got to be interesting.
On the turnpike,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, I'm in the bathroom with Jim Tomei. Listen, it's great talking to you. Congratulations on your success. Tell your dad hello from us, and give a hug to your mom.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, congrats. Great weekend.
Nice kid.
Lila Tomei goes to Chicago Academy for the Arts. Sophomore is going to be singing the anthem.
How about that? She's got 2 years before she goes off to a music school.
She's going
to
be at the Petco Park. Progressive Field on Saturday, and then Williamsport for the Little League festivities on Sunday. That's pretty great, man.
Yeah, and she sang the anthem on this show.
Yeah,
just seconds ago. Two great musical stars on the show today, as we remember Aretha and the future talents of one Lila Tomei. And congratulations to Jim. One of the nicest guys in sports.
Yeah. Remember when he joined us and we did the show in Washington?
Yep.
After the tornado, he joined us there. And
he's a good dude.
Couldn't be a nicer guy.
Yeah. And still tanned, rested, and ready. I know he's out 5 years now. I know he's in the Hall of Fame, but he could come back tomorrow.
Yes.
So. Michael thinks he's coming back. Why can't Tomei come back? What's Jim now? 45, 6, 7, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, yeah, right around okay. there, probably.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ariana Grande last night. Is that Tonight Show? Is that Fallon? Yeah. Am I remember this right? Big Chill. Isn't there a great scene, the Big Chill, with a song?
I believe there is.
Yeah.
My wife and I were talking about I think it was a Stetson cologne commercial with this song in it. Remember that, with the Jeep, and then the guy turns around, or the woman turns around in the Jeep and picks up the guy, and it was this song was playing?
There were over 200 television shows and movies that licensed Aretha Franklin music. How about that?
Amazing.
A couple minutes before 9, Sandberg is, actually, they're about to wrap up Kids Fair. Kids Fest. Kids Fair Fest.
The Fair Fest.
How's it going out there?
Well, it's just great. Actually, Patrick and I were just brought into the famed WGN Radio TV studios into a conference room because Patrick's getting ready for his hit with Paul Conrad on your show, and he's going to be on a landline. So,
all right, so they're going to actually do, Patrick's going to do a sit-down with Paul Conrad, get to the bottom of it. Now, we don't know what is. We don't know what it is, but we know Patrick's going to... He's kind of got a Mike Wallace middle 70s vibe.
So this will be a one-on-one? This will be...
Well, Paul's going to be from his weather mic, but it will be one-on-one with you guys listening.
Okay.
So you can maybe chime in. As Paul Rennie, our amazing boss, was walking us in the building, he asked Patrick if he's ever been here before, and Patrick said no. And then he said, "You never came here to see Bozo." And Patrick said, "Who's Bozo?" So that gives you some context on.
And did he say to the general manager, "And get out of my field of vision. I'm trying to concentrate on my interview."
Yes. So now we're in a conference room that has a giant mural, and Bozo is the biggest person here. So when the gallery goes up at WGNradio.com, you'll be able to see this in the gallery, the picture of Bozo and all our other WGN TV greats.
Did you or would you summarize it as a giant success, which you witnessed this morning, the Fair Fest?
It was a giant success. There was a lot of kids. They were getting free backpacks, their teeth checked. They were getting candy. They were getting White Sox flags, all sorts of stuff like that. Kids seemed happy. They were eating snacks. I saw some pizza being eaten, some Culvers, the Jesse White tumblers.
Was it annoying to you at all that kids were just eating with no plates or napkins?
Yes. Well, Steve, I'm at a kids' fair. There are a lot of things that are annoying me, if I could just say that. A lot of kids crying. Like, I don't understand, but just crying.
Maybe they want something. They want to play twice.
They all want something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And they don't care. They run into you. Yeah, it's a... What were you going to say, Mayor?
I was confused. You said they're getting their teeth checked, and then you said they're getting candy?
Yeah, I know. Well, they're on two sides of the parking lot, so
I was going to say, there's dentists over there that are paying off the candy guys to hand out more candy. I mean,
gotcha.
That's how it works,
right? The candy lobby.
And, you know, Patrick doesn't have the straightest teeth. He's going to eventually need, braces. And so the dentist truck, when we passed it, he said, "Do you want to get your teeth checked?" And he said, "No." And Patrick was just at the dentist. He goes, "Are you sure?" And I thought, well, he's eyeing him up for... He was going to try to throw some braces on him right here in the parking lot.
Are you sure? Because your teeth are a wreck.
Yeah, you're going to need those braces. But anyway, it was very fun, and I'm glad it's over.
Spoken like a mother.
And I can't wait for Justin to cover this event next year.
Yeah, I can't wait.
When he and Miles come out. So,
Miles is out of town. So
yeah, Miles had a business trip, didn't he?
I was pulled off this duty. Yeah,
he's out of town on business trip. Yeah. All right, we'll check back in with you when we have an exclusive sit-down interview when Patrick Boyle grills Paul Conrad.
Awesome.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right,
this is Mary Sandberg Boyle. Signing off from the WGN-TV 17th Annual Back to School Kids Fair.
There you go. There you go. Now I cut her off. You know?
She's got to get this. She's got to work. It's 2018. You got to throw a website in there. You got to get a Twitter handle in there.
Right. Follow me on. Yeah.
You got to get all that.
Pat Thomas. So my favorite image of the morning on the Channel 9 thing is Patrick Tomasulo. Pat Tomasulo trying to interview a little kid who couldn't have cared less about him. Had his arms folded, wasn't smiling, didn't find him amusing. That's good stuff. That's good TV.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, 9:12 now. Our old pal Ryan Dempster standing by. And before we get to the point of business, how are you, man?
I'm great. I feel like I haven't seen you or talked to you in forever. We win a World Series and we just part ways. What happened?
I don't know. We need counseling. You know what I mean? We need to sit down and talk it out. I have an old school, unwritten rules baseball question for you. We had a pitcher this week in the bigs that hit a guy wrapping up a back and forth between two teams that started the night before. But his first pitch of the game, and he was bounced on this, was a 97-mile-an-hour heater and hit the guy. If you are going to hit a guy, do you have to throw your hardest, best pitch? I say no.
No, you can hit him however you want. I mean, you could throw a little sloppy curveball in there if you wanted. You could hit him with a nice little BP fastball. But I guess, hey, if that was the moment in his career that untapped the potential for the fastest pitch he's ever thrown, to know that it's inside, I guess, defining moment.
Yeah, it is on record, the fastest pitch anyone has ever thrown is a first pitch in a game.
Yeah, 97 right there. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty bush just because the guy was doing really well that he hit him, and he puts his bullpen in an fortunate position, which then hampers the team for the rest of the week. You're suspended. But listen, we've all made mistakes and hit people that maybe it wasn't the best thing to do and had to wear a suspension, but you get by that, you know.
What's the name of the player, Dave?
The player was hit, Acuna?
Yeah.
Ronald and, Acuna Jr. Jose Ureña was the pitcher.
And Acuna, is Acuna on the DL or he's okay?
No, he's okay. Played last night. He had to leave that game. Obviously, he took his base, and then he ended up coming out of the game, but he's all right.
You know, Dempsey, reminds me of when I hit Dave with a 12-mile-an-hour wiffle. Yeah. And I threw my wiffle
That's
heater.
That's pretty decent for wiffle balls. 12 miles an hour is pretty hot.
I'm telling you, it left a welt on his leg you wouldn't believe.
I was on the DL for like a month.
6 to 8 weeks.
I mentioned when Demps used to do the show live, Justin, regularly, I mentioned that we're just days away from Demps on Ice. So we're going to tell you about a show he's doing in just a second. But first...
Yeah, I wonder with stories like, you know, Steve sort of teeing up the idea of what happened in baseball with the beaning of the first hitter. I mean, I would assume these are the kind of stories we're going to hear coming up at the Vic next week.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's going to be a lot of stories that... probably people have never heard about. So I think that's the idea behind it all, is to get these guys to share those moments in their career that maybe while they were playing they weren't the right thing to talk about. But it's always good therapy to get them off your chest, you know.
Yeah.
I want to know a lot of personal things about these guys, so hopefully we'll get there.
Well, you know what it reminds me of is the Cubs convention, when we used to host the Cubs convention for all those years, because we would sit down on those panels and be able to ask questions that you couldn't normally do on the radio or on TV. And you're a great interviewer. I mean, I've seen you do it for years, even when you were still playing. So I think you're going to have nothing but fun with this.
Thanks. I'm excited for it. It's a fun opportunity. We got a great list of guys. I mean, you know, to be able to have guys like Kerry Wood and Anthony Rizzo, Ozzie Guillen up there to talk to him, you know, from the World Series and life, becoming a grandpa, to, you know, why you really kicked Giovanni Soto's mask. I mean, what did that mask ever do to you? So, you know, there's a few things I want answered, but we're going to have a lot of fun that night. I got a couple good surprise guests. I got some really good comedic aspects and musical aspects and a little bit of everything. And the whole time we get a chance to raise money for CPS SCORE, which is after-school sports programs for CPS students that normally wouldn't ever get to do this. So it's going to be a great night at the Vic next Saturday, and looking forward to it.
How do we get tickets?
You can get tickets at ticketfly.com or at thevictheater.com, as well as walk up to the Vic Theater. Or you can go to Twitter at Off the Mound, and there's a link there to how to get the tickets right there on Twitter at Off the Mound. So.
Do the guests get to ask you questions?
I'm sure some of them will, knowing a couple of those guys. It'll be some good banter back and forth, and we got some fun games planned. We got prizes we're going to be giving away to fans that are there. We got all kinds of stuff. It's going to be quite the variety of a show, and filmed a really fun bit this past week with Anthony Rizzo at the Navy Pier. We actually kind of my own little spin on carpool karaoke
there you go.
Something there you like go. That. We did Ferris wheel karaoke, so that should be
how romantic for the two of you.
It was Dave. Very sweet. We did a lot of love songs, you know.
Oh, very nice. So Ryan, I assume you saw the moment on the mound last night. Maybe you didn't, but hopefully you've seen the video of it. Okay,
yeah.
What can you explain what in the world was happening there with Pedro Strop and Anthony
Rizzo?
And
it's a stare down, so people that didn't see it, it's a stare down at the end of a scrum on the pitcher's mound, because, come on, man, you can do it, you can get this done, and a weird stare down between Rizzo and Strop. All right, pick it up.
Yeah, that right there is 162 games. You got to find ways to have moments that make you laugh inside. And those two guys are as tight as can be. They love each other so much, and I think it was just one of those things where, like, I'm gonna have a little fun with them right now and see what happens. And I just thought, I watched it this morning, and I just thought it was so good. So classic. Here you are in a 1-0 game with all the pressure riding. Got to get out of this, and let's just throw a little fun and make you relax a little bit, and boom, he gets out of it. So
a lot is made of the Cubs' looseness. They're having fun out there, and the culture in the clubhouse. You've played for a couple of different teams and been in a couple of different clubhouses. What is the secret to that? What's the secret to having a culture that's loose, where you're in big games and guys can blow off steam and have fun like that?
Yeah, well, it's always like the fine line to teeter on. We'd always say that. You'd be in a dugout. If you're winning, everybody's smiling, they're high-fiving, they're doing dances, they're interviewing each other with fake microphones, and everyone's, look at these guys, man, they're having so much fun, they're just so relaxed. But if you're losing and you do that, everybody goes, these guys don't take anything serious. They're not focused enough. So
can't win.
You play your best when you're loose, and I think that's what they're trying to do right now.
At the Vic, stories that you won't hear anywhere else with Demps going to be at the Vic hosting Off the Mound, Stories and Laughs with MLB Legends. Tell them where to get tickets one more time.
Ticketfly.com, also victheater.com, and visit us at Twitter at Off the Mound, and you can check it out.
And for wondering what kind of stories, leave them with this. I believe I have the setup right, and then you pick it up. Pinellas first year, opening day, you're closing, it's blustery, you're playing in Cincinnati, and Pinella comes to the mound and says what to you?
Son, what's the problem? I said, what do you mean what's the problem? He goes, it's 8-1. It's 30 degrees out. Throw the goddamn ball over the plate and let him hit it.
All right, Demps. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Bro.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
See you later.
August 25th.
Every bit of it. And obviously, word for word.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's a great idea for a show, by the
Isn't
way.
Isn't that cool? Dempson
with MLB Legends up on stage. That's all I care about. I saw Doug Glanville at the interview show one time, and he just talked about being in a brawl. You know, just what goes on.
You just love to hear.
When you're a guy who wasn't involved in a brawl, yeah, and you ran in from right field and you're just supposed to grab somebody, that's
right.
Great.
And hold him back.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. This is Patrick Boyle's interview with what's the other guy's name? Paul Conrad, coming up in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Got me a man named Dr. Feelgood.
Unofficial quote from Ray Charles, but I love it. Ray Charles supposedly said to Aretha one time, those songs are lucky you're singing them.
Yeah, that's great.
She was also, I did not know this as well, but this all comes out of the tributes that are all over the place today. Aretha was one of the great pianists of, modern rock music, modern pop music, modern hit music, modern soul and R&B. You talk about a sense of timing and stuff, and she was working on that since she was a very little girl in church. The best drummers have it, and non-drummers can have it too, like Keith Richards on the guitar, stuff like that. But Aretha Franklin's sense of time was unique and completely extraordinary and self-taught. Even if she'd been born without vocal cords, it is said she would still be one of the greatest pianists of the 20th century.
Wow.
She played piano like a percussion instrument. Which means she could do it with a feathery touch, but bang on it like a drum. And her producer, Jerry Wexler, who produced with some of the biggest acts at Atlantic Records forever, said one of the reasons she was so great is when she was coming up in particular, people knew she had chops because not just the singing, but they could see her play the piano, and that made her an actual musician, not just a vocalist.
It's unbelievable.
Just one of the stories that are out there today about the great Aretha Franklin. And by the way, she was political.
She was a big part of the civil rights movement in the 60s.
Huge deal. Yeah. There was a odd tweet from the president. His first tweet was perfectly appropriate. And then an odd tweet late night last night where he talked about Aretha being gone and saying he knew her very well. She worked for him several times.
Right.
Now, like, you could choose to be outraged by anything, and it's just the outrage of the day. But it is a weird choice of words.
I mean, I read Scott Simon from Weekend Edition on NPR had a great tweet to that saying, so many people, the people who are at the top of their corporations, CEOs, other places, you know, they don't say, oh, that person worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
You say they worked with, you know, like other things that you might do to show
she
your humility.
She performed at my event.
She performed. There's ways to say that. I agree. I think the outrage is, I think it's just another one of these things where you're like, you know, like I just wish we had more decorum.
Sure.
But I'm not outraged by it.
Fox News honored Aretha Franklin yesterday. How'd you tell me they did that? What
they did it, Fox? There's another one I thought was an internet hoax, but it wasn't. When putting up a picture for the story they were working on, they had a picture of Patti LaBelle instead of Aretha Franklin. Again, choose what you're outraged about. But
yeah, but you, Dave, you know this as well. There are so many people involved in television, between a concept to something that ends up on screen. And there's checks and balances, and there's people
editors
that... And there's people in line that would go, well, that's not Aretha Franklin. Not her.
She's such a well-known face.
I don't even know how that happens.
I don't know how you do that.
Some white kid intern who goes, oh, here's a lady, right? Yeah? Right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Right?
You hope that's not the case, but...
She was not Aretha, though she did appear with Donald Trump and did work at a couple of his events. She was not a fan based on how he had behaved as president and was recently quoted as saying, I wouldn't work for him for any amount of money.
She, you know, to hear Donald or to read Donald Trump's tweet and some of the press con, he said something yesterday. He showed a genuine, authentic feel like
in that
loss.
First tweet, right?
Yeah, I mean, he talked about it. You could tell that this was something personal to him, the loss of Aretha Franklin. And that was I actually said that yesterday. I said it's kind of touching to hear the president speak from the heart like that, as opposed to just kind of, you know, the other stuff that he does on Twitter. Obviously, undid that a little bit with the work she worked for me, but the first tweet, and I thought some of the sentiments that he said in the press conference were good.
And then you compare that to what President Obama put out yesterday, and the words are somebody put yesterday that his words were like Aretha's music.
It was well done. Back to Channel 9. Do we have Patrick standing by?
I think we do. Patrick, you there?
Patrick, are you with us?
I don't know. I hear it.
Oh, he's on the phone. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm here.
Patrick.
Yeah?
There you are. Are you sitting there with Mr. Conrad?
No. He is right in this room, but like a little bit far away from me.
Right, he's down the hall. Mr. Conrad.
We're a good 20 feet away.
All right, so...
All right, good.
Patrick Boyle, son of Pat Boyle, has some probing questions of you, Paul Conrad.
Yeah.
Are you prepared?
I am. Yeah, I think so.
All right. This is live on CLTV and WGN. All right, Patrick, what's your first question?
My first question is, whenever you're doing the weather and you say something like there is a 50% chance rate, and that weather
Do you understand that, Paul?
I don't understand anything.
Right, he said, I think I got it. He said, when you say it's 50% chance of rain and you're wrong, do you feel bad about it?
No, I feel like I'm 50% right. You got to be an optimist. It's a 50-50 chance. We specifically do it that way to give ourselves a way to feel better about ourselves.
No, that's fair.
So I know it seems like we're kind of protecting ourselves.
I got to go with that's a 75% suck on your answer.
Yeah, that's all right, but it's still 25% it didn't suck. I'm still all right. As long as you stay out of the 100% chances, we're fine.
Okay, we're doing math here. All right, Patrick, what's question number two?
Hold on a second. Hey, I got to give the forecast real quickly.
Go ahead.
Today, we've got some scattered showers out there. We're going to see a daytime high reading that's going to climb to about 81. 50% chance for rain. How do you like that?
Yeah, there
and
you go.
82 for your high tomorrow. A stray shower possible south.
Live on Channel
84 for your high on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Upper 70s next week. That's forecast.
There you go. Nicely done.
I am ready now.
Now, Patrick, that was actually a live forecast that he jumped to. That's how talented he is. What's your second question?
My second question is, when you're when you think it's going to rain, and like you know it for sure, do you ever say 100% chance of rain, or is it like 90?
All right, so Justin, you speak 10-year-old, 10 and 11-year-old.
What's this question? Are there any times when you know it's going to rain? And you just know from your experience and you see the radar.
Yeah.
It's 100% that you will tell us 100% it's going to rain.
Yeah. Or do you hedge your bets?
I'm still always hedging. I'm going to go with 99.3
just in case. You always want to have a little wiggle room,
right?
Like, you never know. Something could happen, even though, like, sometimes I walk outside, it's pouring rain.
Sure.
And I'm like, it's a 100% chance for rain, but I still am like, nah, by the time I make it back into the weather office, it might stop.
Right.
So I'll go 99.2.
Because somewhere, a viewer is not getting rain done.
Right, and he's going to be ticked. He's going to be like, you're saying there's 100% chance for rain. I didn't get any rain. Yep. You're a liar.
That's a seasoned broadcaster, Patrick, much like your dad.
Listen, in life, you always have to find some wiggle room to get out, because you're not going to do it perfectly, and people expect, you know, people believe that I'm wrong about 80% of the time.
What a great lesson for the youngster.
It's always really more always like 78 or 77 times we're wrong, but it's not 80, I'll tell you that.
All right.
Michael Jordan left himself some wiggle room.
All the time. It's what the best in the business do.
Sure, yeah.
How do you think Skilling survived 40 years?
Wiggle room?
Yeah. He wiggles a lot. He's one of the biggest wigglers I've ever met.
There's no question. He's a wiggling guy from way back.
Huge. You should see him in the weather office.
There's wiggling going on like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. All right, you got another question?
All right, last question, Patrick. One more.
All right.
My favorite question is, do you feel like don't you, like, kind of, do you, like, practice what you're saying?
Okay.
Or do you just, like, say, like, it's 80% chance of rain?
Does he rehearse, or is there any prep involved? Is that the question?
Yeah, is there any prep? How much of it is
how much you just shoot your mouth off?
Yeah, so here's the real deal. Like, there's a lot of amateurs out there who practice, right? Listen, you shouldn't be practicing. You either got it or you don't got it, right? Like, a lot of these guys are doing these numbers in their head and they're making it stuff. They're making stuff up. They're a bunch of liars in this business, which is why we have such a bad reputation.
Right.
And people think I'm wrong 80% of the time.
Right.
Here's how you got to speak from the heart, man.
So
sometimes you got to push the models away, and you got to feel it down deep, like when you're madly in love for the first time, and you got the girl right there in front of you, and your arms are around her. You got to do it with some passion. You got to feel it. You know, too many people make it an intellectual exercise, and no one gives a crap about that stuff. You got to feel it deep down in the
bones. You got to feel it. So, Patrick.
Good advice for a 10-year-old.
Patrick, if I could sum this up, Patrick, I believe what Mr. Conrad is saying to you, and please tell your dad every word of this.
He understands.
That what he's saying is, leave yourself some wiggle room so you can always get out of trouble and shoot your mouth off whenever you can.
Right, and speak from the heart, baby.
Speak from the heart.
Yeah. And love. Don't forget about love.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have love in there, you're wasting your time. It's like a bell that's ringing and no one listens.
Wow.
You got real hippie right there.
Wow.
Hey, don't forget about love, man.
How deep is that? All right, Patrick, do you feel like you learned anything?
I do.
Yeah. I learned a lot, and the most is that it was an amazing time learning about the weather and learning that
what you said.
Paul, and learning that Paul can talk really loudly.
Yes, really loud. That's the other thing.
You know, that's the one thing. Talk loud.
If you're confident,
shoot your mouth off and leave yourself wiggle room.
And leave a little
and don't
love.
Don't practice.
But find some love in there. You do it without the love, you're screwed, baby.
That's why you're a good dad.
Whew.
That's it.
That was awesome. I felt like I learned a lot also just from being here.
About yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick, man, you're awesome.
He's a good interviewer. There's no question.
All right. Anything else?
No, get off the show. That's Paul Conrad. We'll come back.
All my love, man. That was cool.
Good job, Patrick.
It's a nice break for you being interviewed. Let's come back and get your headlines next on 720 WG.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Saw another great quote from Aretha. You know, she struggled with the weight issue for a good portion of her adult life. Somebody asked her about it. She said, "Who hasn't had a weight issue? If not the body, certainly the head." Big weighty, big ego, big head. Not her. You know what you're saying?
Yep.
Right.
Dan Aykroyd had a great quote. We were talking about Aykroyd and Blues Brothers earlier, but he said on Twitter, "What a voice, what a soul. Angel choir should prepare for increased rehearsal and discipline."
Going to be rehearsals tonight. Let me shift gears for a second. There's a trending story that I didn't have time to get to earlier. We don't have a lot of time for it now, but here's a headline. If you're wondering why you've lost friends in adulthood, we know why. Have you got somebody that, you know, you were tight with, that you've, you know, you really don't stay in touch with anymore?
Absolutely.
I can tell you one in particular for me. Best man at my wedding, best pal from college, fell off the face of the earth, and there were some mitigating circumstances, mostly on my end. But we haven't talked in years.
Same here. Same here. Best man in my wedding.
Same deal?
Yeah. It's exactly the same.
Did you have a specific thing you could point to? Here's why? Because I don't. I mean, I have things I think, but I literally said to him at one point, I go, dude, what's the issue here? I said, if you got something you need to say to me, say it.
We did.
So you know what that issue is.
Yeah.
In all likelihood. Mm-hmm. See, I think I know, but I'm not sure. And I'd rather have somebody, especially somebody that close to, I'd rather have somebody look you in the eye and go, well, you suck, and here's why, and I'm not talking to you anymore.
What does the study say? Was it that why do we lose friends later in life?
You got to show up when it matters. And the single easiest way to lose friends is to not show up.
Yeah.
And they cite in particular illness of a family member, a death in the family, a financial burden, something that's a great deal of stress on them, and you're not there for them.
Yeah.
And as an adult, you go, dude, when I was 18, this is okay. It's not okay anymore, and we're done. Because this is who you are. So it's interesting. And that's not just a male thing. We found it to be true in men and women.
But don't you think some of it has to do with the person's family, like their husband or their wife, and if they don't get along with that other person?
No, it can be, sure.
You know, I know that was an issue with me, with a girl that was in my wedding. I mean, I don't keep in touch with her anymore at all. And I think it was a husband issue. I mean, she's divorced now, but so we might try to get back together now. So
it's never too late, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
But here's the thing that you need to go through. I believe, and maybe you did this, Dave, or not, I think you got to grieve the loss of the friendship. You know, if you're that tight with somebody, you got to go through the anger. You got to go through the denial. You got to go through the acceptance. You got to go through all of that. Because, again, as a grown-up, at some point you go, I can't fix this. Well, I tried.
You know, I had a birthday this week, and Facebook is good at letting people know it's your birthday, and they put happy birthday on your wall. And there were a lot of people that I used to be a lot closer with that would reach out and happy birthday. And it was a really great – I felt like it was a great – that was a good part of a birthday, where you could actually have this shared quick moment with people that you don't share your life with anymore.
Yeah, well, that does, but doesn't it also take people off the hook?
Yeah, maybe,
right? Because I can text you a happy birthday now, and that's as good as actually reaching out.
Yeah, it's true.
So, but I would say, the individual I'm speaking about, I would say, and I don't even know that I'm looking for this. I don't think I am looking for this. But I would say that at some point our paths will cross again and it'll be fine. Do you feel that way or not?
No, absolutely not. It's done. It's done, and it's unique circumstances. But I would say this. I have other friends from childhood who I had one call me last night. I hadn't talked to him in months. We just pick up where we left off.
Yeah. Which I think is and
that's more common. This is really.
I think it's a great gift to being a guy. You cannot talk for 15 years and you pick up like you talked to
him. You pick it right up.
All right, we got a break. We'll come back. Bill and Wendy on the way on 720 WG.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The personal fave of mine, Aretha doing Chain of Fools. Blackhawk fans, hockey season just around the corner. Single game tickets for Blackhawks regular season home games on sale Monday at 10 a.m. I can't believe, Dave, they have a lot. These are the set-asides? Because these aren't like singlets, right? The standing room only stuff. You can buy pairs of tickets in different places.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I think.
And the interesting thing, too, is throughout the season, as you know, if you're willing to pay, StubHub will happily take your money.
Yeah, right. Yes, they will.
So, without question. All right, let's do this. We'll take one last break, come back. Bill and Wendy in just a moment on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hello, Bill.
I like the way you say consultation. You say it a different way than most of us, and I like your pronunciation of it.
Maybe you should adopt it.
Consultation. adaptation.
Yeah, maybe you should adopt it.
I'm going to say
How do you way. Say Chicago?
Boston.
I have to say that is a unique pronunciation. A lot of people don't do it that way.
I shouldn't say it that way, should
Probably
I?
Probably not.
All right, I'll change.
Have you been watching any of the Aretha stuff?
Yeah, a lot of it. It's very
Did you
moving,
see
very
the
touching.
Divas clip?
No.
I'll leave you with this
what
for the
this?
Weekend. I recommend the Divas clip. It's Mariah Carey. It's Celine Dion. I can't remember the other women that were there. But basically, take the five hottest diva singers.
Yeah.
You know, the greatest voices. And around with Aretha, and they all look like, I am so embarrassed to be here because
really?
I cannot keep up.
Really?
It's a cool clip.
All right, I'll find that.
Aretha and the Divas. Google that up and you'll see it.
There you
all
go.
Right. Is Dean Richards one of the divas?
Totally. The biggest. What yep. are you guys doing today?
We have more Todd Rundgren tickets to give away, and we're going to talk television with a guy who runs a cool website.
Alex Zelbin.
AZ, as we call him?
We call should. Him AZ. Yeah. A to Z.
What are you watching on TV now? You got a favorite thing you're watching?
Oh, boy. You know, the summer's tough. Wendy and I have told this story. I was not a fan of Portlandia. I had only seen two episodes, and it didn't do so much good. For me. And now...
And I kept raving about it.
Wendy kept show. Saying, you got to go back. And now I am, and boy, do I love it.
Yeah,
so every night,
seasons,
one or two episodes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm watching Pink Lady and Jeff.
Pink Lady and Jeff.
Yeah.
With Jeff Altman
yep.
and me and Kay.
Yeah.
Ask your guy, when does Ozark come back? It should be like
All right.
Oh, I loved
weeks.
That.
It's the new season comes out in a week or two.
Made me feel so much better about my life. Didn't it? And Jason Bateman, he's awesome.
He's tremendous.
Laura
I like
Linney.
The Starland vocal band summer
good.
Series as well.
They're so good.
Great.
Skyrockets in flight.
Dr. Hook and a Medicine Show.
Yeah.
So
The stars.
Have a great weekend. See you Monday.